I know he is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find.
My good just once in a while. He's good all the time.
Oh, let's sing about it now, church. Well, you know our God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find.
He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time.
Oh, I believe it tonight, don't you? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me read you something just before
we start tonight. I believe it's going to help you, and I know it helped me.
I'll let some ministers, Brother Donnie and Brother Darrell, Brother David, read this. And, well, just to show you that God is still concerned about us, still loves us. He's still in the healing business. This is Brother Lloyd Vermillion. He attends Brother Homer Longoria's assembly. I wish to thank the church for prayers. I put in a prayer request last December of 2014 and received a prayer cloth from Brother Reagan for lymphoma cancer. My doctor said that a lymph node removed from my neck was cancerous. There's been three miracles since then over this. My last visit was July the 7th. My cancer doctor said he was amazed that the tumor in my jaw was gone. Also, my kidney doctor had reported that the tumor in my kidney that was there on the CAT scan was gone when he went into my kidney with a camera. The doctor's words were, "There's nothing to treat." Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
That's all right, isn't it?
Amen. There will be another CAT scan on August the 31st. This whole journey has been victory upon victory in Jesus' name. Thank you for your prayers, Brother Lloyd Vermillion. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Let's stand to our feet if you will. Let's sing some more of that. You ought to sing it really, really good right now. Our God is good. In a world that's upside down, our God is on the throne. He's still real. He's still in the business of saving, healing, redeeming, restoring. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Give him one more hand clap of praise. Well, I know my God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over.
No greater friend in your life.
Oh, yes, sir.
He's not good just once in a while.
But he's good all the time. One more time. Yes, I said my God is good. You can
say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you. We've got just a few prayer requests tonight. If you'll just stand with me. Brother John Dubsky, still visiting here from out in Phoenix. I want Brother John to get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight on behalf of these prayer requests. I want to pray for Steve Christie. He is to have an open heart surgery tomorrow. So we certainly want to remember that prayer request. Sister Lou Bean sends us in to please pray for Sister Sharon Binkley. She's having surgery tomorrow to have a skin cancer removed, asking that all will go well. Also, she wants us to remember her mother. Sister Lou's mother is still struggling with pneumonia, asking for healing and strength. Thank you for your prayers. So let's just pray for that need tonight. I want to pray for Jaretta Stockton. The doctors have told her that they think she has leukemia. She will go for more tests. Also, her kidneys are failing. Her desire is to be in the house of the Lord, but she is physically not able to attend. Also, please remember Brother Terry Stockton as well. So let's remember those needs tonight. I want to pray for Sister Martha Sacker. Wants us to remember her sister Becky, who had surgery today. Sister Sue Miller has an unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. Sister McFarland says two prayer requests for my friend in Ohio, quick recovery from knee surgery, and also a quick solution for his family situation. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Please pray for Sister Bambi Lawson. She has an upper respiratory infection, other ailments, really needs our prayer, so let's remember that. Brother Jim Hughes says he had to make a trip to Nashville today, be back tomorrow, asking that we would just pray that God would give him traveling mercy. Sister Sherrod Hamilton says we would like for you to pray for me and my husband for transportation. We need transportation for church as well as work. We finally got close enough to be able to be in church and not stream. Having been streaming every service since 2004, we would like to be there physically and not just in spirit. Also, would you like to pray for my brother-in-law, Christopher Logan. He caught some kind of infection, had to be rushed to the hospital. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you. So let's remember those needs tonight. Sister Brittany Elliott, not feeling well tonight, needs a touch from the Lord. Let's pray for her tonight. I want to pray for Donald Moore, having a surgical procedure done tomorrow, so let's remember that need. Sister Deanna Glenn wants us to pray for Sister Brenda Harmon at the Johnson City Medical Center, doing a heart catheterization on her tomorrow. So far, other heart tests have checked out okay, so we just commit these things unto the Lord tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother John, would you come tonight? Lead us to the Lord in prayer as we pray. We believe God is more than able to meet these needs tonight, don't we? We certainly do. Let's just pray with our brother as we invite the presence of the Lord into the service. God bless. Give him a nice hand tonight as he comes to lead us to the Lord in prayer. God bless you, brother. Sure good to see you, brother. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless each and every one of you. I bring you greetings from Brother Ron Pearson Church in Phoenix, Arizona. And it's indeed a privilege to be here. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we now come before you, the righteous one. We bow our hearts, we bow our minds, our spirits, our body, Lord. And we look to you as the giver of life, as the giver of health, as a giver of every need for your elect seed, whom is the apple of your eye. Heavenly Father, so many requests here tonight, and each and every one of them important. So many in the hearts of the people that were not spoken or not written down on pen. But Lord, now we look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to you, Heavenly Father, as one that can meet each and every one of our needs according to the faith in which you have given us. So now, Lord, we take each and every request, each and every heart's request, and we lay it on the altar of faith. And we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you address each health issue, that you address each traveling mercy, that you address each and everything that we would have need of, Lord, because we are the children of a loving and most gracious Father. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless the service tonight. Bless the word as it goes forth. Feed our hearts. We promise to be attentive. Our minds are open. Our ears are open. And bless the tithes and offerings. And we love you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming this service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. We want to welcome tonight Brother Aaron Oglesby and family from Brother Tim Pruitt's assembly. Where would those folks be? Would you just raise your hand wherever you're at? God bless you. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. So Brother John Dubsky and his family still visiting from Phoenix. We're certainly glad to have all of our visitors with us tonight. You know, here's the thing about it. Everybody can't come here. Everybody can't be a member of Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. And we know that. Everybody can't be a member of Brother Ron Peterson's assembly. Everybody can't be Brother Tim Pruitt. But I'm so glad that I'm right here. No, you just take that for what it's worth. I'm glad he put me right here. Aren't you glad you're where you're supposed to be? Do you feel like you're where you're supposed to be? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. God is so good to us. He puts us where He wants us to be. And, well, we labor there until He's through with us here in this life. We're laborers together, aren't we? Let me make this announcement real quickly. There will be a meeting tonight just right after service for about 10 minutes. All the musicians, all the sound men. If you'll just stay in the auditorium for about 10 minutes, we need to have just a real brief meeting, cover a few things. Let's sing this song tonight. I'm so glad for one other thing. He didn't throw me away, but He loved me enough to break me and keep on working on me. Are you proud of that tonight, that He loves you enough just to keep on working on you? Let's sing that song tonight. Brother Joel, y'all, you come and get ready. You and Brother Chuck, come and get ready to sing with Brother Harry. You'll be our special tonight. By a special request, somebody wanted to hear you sing your famous song that you guys sing, and we love to hear you sing it through the fire. But let's sing this song together right now. He didn't throw the clay away. Singer, buddy.
Empty and broken, I came back to Him. A vessel unworthy, so scarred by sin.
Oh, sing about it.
But He did not despair. He started
like me.
Seated. Brother Aaron, come here just 1 minute. Now, we've watched this little scrawny thing right here since he's knee-high to a grasshopper. And I want to tell you this. This is one fine young man right here.
Amen.
We're proud of you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
We're proud of you. Amen. Now, he's going to be leaving us tomorrow, going to Arizona to live for a little while. I hope the scorpions run you back here real quick. We're going to miss you. Give Brother Aaron a nice hand. God bless you, brother. Amen. Lord, sing us a song tonight. I believe you're going to enjoy these guys. We always love to hear them sing this song. They just sing it so well.
Well, so many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision and my frustration gets so out of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. And as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. The cross would not be heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through fire again. I know within myself,
just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through fire again.
I know within myself that I will surely pass, but if I trust the hand of God, He'll seal the flames again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy, and the hill would not be hard. Standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
So just hold on. Our Lord will show up,
and He will take you through the fire again.
Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful He's that kind of a God. Let's turn, if you would, tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus, chapter 33. Brother Louie mentioned to me, Brother Baker is back in service with us tonight. Brother Baker, where are you at? God bless you, brother. We want to certainly keep Brother Baker in prayer. Brother Baker had a tumor removed from his body, and they've sent it off for further testing. So we want to just trust the Lord for that.
Amen.
Exodus, chapter 33, verse 18. This is Moses after he has went before the presence of God and asked God to forgive and pardon the children of Israel for their idolatry. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Now listen again, God's going to proclaim His name. Verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Now this is the Lord talking about the Lord. I'll make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Thou canst not see my face, there shall no man see me and live. Yet the Bible says prior to this, Moses had talked to God face to face. Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Let's bow our heads together. Ask the Lord to speak to us tonight. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful as your children that we could be given the privilege to gather together again tonight in the house of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for salvation. We thank you for eternal life. We thank you for the work you did at the cross for each of us. shedding your blood to become a propitiation for our sins. We thank you for the advancement of truth that's been given to us, Lord. We ask that you'd speak to us tonight. Truly, we desire to see and know more of you as well. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us open our hearts that we might be able to understand. Lord, these prayer cloths that I have in my hands, you know the needs, Lord Jesus, and I bring them before you. Also, Father, we want to remember Brother Baker. You know the situation in his body. We're just asking you, Lord, you are the Jehovah of miracles.
Amen.
We're asking you on behalf of our brother that you'd move for him. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. We've been speaking for several services on the lives of the prophets. We'd like to look back at that again tonight on the life of Moses. This is something that most of us, I'm sure that I can say with pretty much 100% confidence, most of us will never be faced with this type of situation that Moses was faced with. Whenever we think about people meeting with angels and talking with angels, whether either by physical form or an essence of representation of their being, it's beyond what most of us even can comprehend or understand, because we're not called to that type of a place. But there are people and have been people that have been called by God for a special purpose and a special reason to be able to experience such things. And Moses, of course, was one of them. Moses had been privileged by God to have great supernatural experiences with the Lord. Up to this state where we are, he had already made himself known to him under the name of Yahweh. He had come and revealed himself as the I Am That I Am in the pillar of fire in the bush. He had already made known to him part of the character or the representation of the name of God. Now the name, of course, to the Eastern people means totally different to us being in the Western Hemisphere. To them, the word name in Hebrew is Shem, which means character or reputation. To us, we think John, Jim, Jane, Fred, Mary, Sue, Elizabeth, you know, whatever more. It doesn't really mean that much to us. But to God, when God says he would reveal himself, it would be under the consequence of his name, which would be his character. So in the name that God would choose to reveal himself would have the portion of the light of the day. And as God would reveal the light of the day, it was a furtherance of his name. That's why it could be Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tizkenu, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Rapha. All of that was the characteristics or the traits of God's name being revealed. Now Moses had known him in a great way, profound way. As a matter of fact, nobody thus far had quite seen God in the manifestation that Moses had known him. But yet this that Moses had done, standing in the position of being the intercessor for the children of Israel, it had actually emboldened Moses. Now remember, God had told him, I'm not going to go with you any farther. The children of Israel have sinned. They've done a terrible thing. I'm not going with you any farther, but I will send an angel, not me, but an angel which will go on my behalf. Moses comes and he pleads with God and said, God, no, don't send an angel. I don't want an angel. I don't want an angel of your presence. I don't want the angel of your face. I want you to go. And if you're not going to go, I'm not going to go, Lord. I am not going to settle for the office clerk. I'm not going to settle for the secretary. I want the main man going with me. Then what Moses did was, Moses actually interceded to such a degree that it moved the heart of God, and God said, I will go. I will chesed. I will chesed, which is one of the traits of God. I will love to the end. So then once this Moses is able to move the heart of God, it actually emboldens Moses' desire to ask for a further understanding in his own walk with God. Now Moses has interceded on behalf of the people, and God has granted that request. So it emboldens Moses
Moses now to go a step farther for himself. So Moses now proceeds without, now he doesn't have a promise that God says, all right, I've answered this, now ask me what you will and I'll give it to you. He has no promise for this, but he feels emboldened by the move of God to ask for this special favor. So Moses now proceeds to ask for something that he hasn't seen before, or that he has not had an experience with before. Now we'll pick up on this in verse 18. Now he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now the Hebrew word is kabod, which is honor, splendor, dignity, or reputation. Now, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, remember, he's seen the licks of the pillar of fire. He's seen the cloud by day, the fire by night. He's seen so many things, but yet he knows somehow that what he has seen has not fully revealed itself. He knows there's more. Aren't you glad you know the same thing? Now, when God had talked to him face to face, or mouth to mouth, or lip to ear, Moses knew and Moses comprehended that even though he saw a visibility of the supernatural, that it was something that was veiled. Now he knew if it was that great under a veil, how much greater would it be if somehow he could pray that the veil would be removed and it would be in a clarity that he hadn't quite seen before. So he does not ask to see the face of God directly, but he asked to see the splendor, because what he's seen has been a little bit of the glory of God. So it was a manifestation of the divine glory that was hid behind a veil. So Moses desires to see the direct or the essential essence of the being of God. Now Moses desired this because somehow this answered prayer emboldened him to see that he had found special favor in the eyes of God. And there's something about that. Once we do that, then it tends to make us pray more. It tends to embolden us and increase and enlarge our faith. Also, increase of appetite on what you feed upon, it tends to make the appetite that you have grow. So people who feed upon the world, and they feed upon the things of the world, the habits of the world, and so on, it tends to make their habits for the world grow and enlarge. Well, it's the same thing with the kingdom of God. So Moses had fed on the effigy of the person of God. He had fed on the glory of God that he had seen. He had fed on the voice of God, the pillar of fire. And what that did, that made his appetite grow even more. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I believe that if we as the people of God would feed more on God, I believe our appetite for him would grow. I believe with all of my heart one reason why people don't hunger for him more is because they don't eat on him enough. They just feed on him barely a little bit, and they feed more on the things of the world and occupy our time. But Moses' increase of appetite in the presence of God had caused this appetite to grow even more. Now, a lot of people would have been perfectly satisfied with the effigy of the presence of God that he saw. They would have been perfectly satisfied seeing God in a bush, seeing God in a cloud. But why was this man not satisfied? To me, I look at it and show and see that there is in the elect a cry, no matter how long you've been serving God, how well you know him, that you know there has to be more. How many of those here tonight, there's a deeper walk for you and a deeper place that you can know God? Yeah, I've been serving him since I was 12 years old, and I'm 59, most of my entire life. Been preaching since I was 18. And yet I know there's more for him, because the more I see, the more of a hunger that it makes for me. Well, you think, have you never reached that place that you're satisfied where you are? I never have. I never have, and I hope I never do. I hope I never get to a place just because that I can memorize portions of the Bible and quote it word for word, and that I can quote Brother Branham. Ask some of the brothers who travel with me. I've heard some of the message tapes enough. I can quote Brother Branham word for word and pause pause when Brother Branham pauses and say the Kentucky way that he said it. Does that satisfy that longing in my heart? It does not. That's my human capability. When I worked in secular work, there's styles and street numbers and things that I sent to. Whenever I worked at a garment factory, I can still tell you style numbers, size, colors and range and department number and address that I done 40 years ago. Why? Because I got a good memory. So memory don't satisfy, because there's something about him. He is a person. So it takes more than just going to church and singing and reading books and all that sort of thing. Oh my, he is a person, and I believe he wants to get sweeter as the days go by. Now, noticing God answers, he begins to answer Moses in this petition, and God answers him in a very peculiar way. Let's resume now in verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Now watch, Moses asked to see the glory of God. And God answers, I will make all of my goodness to pass before you. Now there is a threefold manner in which God reveals his name or the essence of his being. And now watch, God is going to speak to Moses about how he plans on revealing himself to him in glory. Now I wonder, friends, if we've not seen the same manifestation of God in the way that God answered that he would see Moses, and yet it passes right among us on a daily basis, and we're looking for it in a total different way. Now, I'm not sure exactly what Moses had in his mind when he asked to see the glory of God. And maybe, Brother Dowell, it's totally different, the response that God gave him back, because Moses asked to see glory, but instead of seeing glory, he's going to see goodness, mercy, and grace. Now watch, he said, I will make all my goodness. So apparently, the glory of God lies in the goodness of God. Now, you and I may think that the glory of God is walking on water, healing the sick, casting out devils, that's going into the hospital, and emptying all the hospitals out. Truly, that is a manifestation of the glory of God. But the personification of the greater step of the glory of God is God's grace revealed to you. That is his goodness to you. It is the goodness of God to you tonight to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, to be baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, not to be caught up in the world out here, which is fixing to be totally annihilated and destroyed as far as the cosmos. And you want the goodness of God? You want to see the glory of God in your life? Oh, you ought to be the happiest people on the earth tonight to see the goodness of God displayed. Now watch, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Now the glory of God could not have been endured had it not condescended to be revealed through the attributes of goodness and grace. It's too profound. Brother Bram even says it this way, that if God had not condescended to such a level, it would have blinded even the elected. Now we know the elected are the Word. It would have blinded even the elected. So God must condescend in order to make himself known. So Moses asked for the glory of God, and the glory of God is going to be revealed through condescension. God will condescend. If the full attribute of the glory of God would have walked right up in front of Moses, that glory of God would have killed that man, because the human body cannot take what that does to a human being. It could not do it. That's why another reason we have to have a new body in order to walk before that glory of God. There's no way we can take it. But can you imagine when we get a new body and we'll walk before that brilliant shining light hanging above the Lord Jesus on the throne of God, we'll not have to shelter our eyes, we'll not have to tremble and quiver. No, sir, because our bodies will be changed, and we will see the glory of God as we were intended to see it in the beginning. The goodness of God is going to manifest the glory of God, but the glory of God must be revealed through these avenues in order for it to be comprehended by human beings. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Now what a strange thing. So God is going to make the goodness of God pass before Moses, and God is going to proclaim the name of the Lord. So what's God going to do? What's God going to say? The name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord. God said, I'll proclaim my name. But by what? By saying it. By repeating the name of the Lord. Jesus came in His Father's name. You'll agree with that? Show me one place Jesus ever said, in Jesus' name I cast out devils. He was the personification of that name. Now you and I are not the fullness of that name, so we say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, but Jesus did not have to. So here, whenever this divine being comes before Moses, he's going to proclaim the name of the Lord through the attributes of goodness and mercy to reflect the glory of God. Now watch, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. So he's fixing to make his goodness pass before him. And he's going to make the name of the Lord known, signifying that the children of Israel will have the name of God with them, extended in mercy, even though they don't deserve it. Now the plan of God then to reveal his glory is through his goodness, his greatness, and his grace. His goodness, his greatness, and his grace. Now, God's goodness expresses his glory. And yet sometimes we look and say, well, you know, I've got such and such in my body, and I want to be prayed for, and I wasn't healed. God must not love me. God must not care for me. And yet he moved for you over and over again. He spared your life. There's no telling how many times. He's moved for your children. He's moved for you financially. And you pinpoint God to one little situation and looking for the manifestation of the glory of God in the way you choose for it to be. You're saved. You're sanctified. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're walking right. You're living right. You're doing right. And you want to see the glory of God? You are a miracle. You are a walking miracle in this age of darkness. So the goodness is going to be expressed. It's going to correlate together with the greatness of God expressed through the name of God. Third is his grace. Watch how God responds to this. God said, I will be gracious. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Amen. Now watch in verse 20. Then God says, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. But chapter 33, verse 11 says, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Which is 9 verses prior to this one. So do we have a problem with our Bible? Well, this verse says one thing and the other says something else. To the carnal mind. To the spiritual mind, they say exactly the same thing. Moses was speaking to an effigy or a semblance of God. That was called face to face. What is this? This is spoken in human terms. Don't you understand, friend? The New Testament is written the same way. When the Bible talks about the right hand of God, it is said in human terminology. It's not that God's got a right hand and Jesus is the second one in the heaven there and Jesus, the little boy, is sitting over on his daddy's right hand. It's written in human terms. When it was said that Moses spoke to God face to face, it was not the real face. Why? This was not FaceTime. Glory! It was not time for the face to be revealed. Oh, hallelujah. Moses, I know what you're asking, but it's not FaceTime yet. No man can see my face and live. But there is a place by me, near me. And not in the tabernacle, but a place near me. And thou shalt stand upon the rock. Now remember, this is in Horeb, Mount Horeb. The children of Israel spent 11 months here. They got in a real desperate spot and needed some water. That's the same rock he's fixing to move up on. Now there is a place by me, and there is a rock that you're going to smite and stand on. Now watch, God says, there is a place by me and thou shalt stand upon the rock. Glory. Lord God, may I be found on the same place. And it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by. Now notice, God is obligated to shield and protect everyone who's on the rock. You're only safe from the judgment of God if you're found on God's rock. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, Moses said, well, God, I don't want that rock. Well, what about this chair over here? Let me see over here. God's got one provided place for Moses to be saved, and that is on the rock, Christ Jesus. May I say to you tonight, God's got one provided place in this day to be saved. It's not in this church. It's not around this move or that move. It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're in there, there's not a devil in hell can pull you away from your Father's love. Now remember, in order to see the glory of God, you got to be at the right place at the right time, connected with the right man. Or you don't get to see it. Now, it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. Now goodness, greatness, and grace are fixing to move by. Now Moses, you want to see me, but there is a provided place. You've got to step inside this rock that's been smitten. Glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand. Now listen, written again in human terms. It would seem as if though Moses is standing in this rock and God reaches up in front of himself and puts his hand over this and then passes by and then moves his hand. What is it? Written in human terms so we would be able to comprehend it to a degree. Glory. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4, that rock was Christ. Now you imagine Moses under this anticipation as it keeps building, wondering, what will it be, Lord? What will it be? I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. So the glory of God revealed in this portion of his person, which can now be understood. Now, not the fullness yet, but what God will allow to be understood is going to be revealed to his messenger. And of course, we only have Moses' word for this, that this happened, since there were no more witnesses. So would y'all like for me to continue on, or should I stop since there wasn't 1,000 people there and NBC and ABC and Fox and CNN and the internet and Yahoo and all the rest of them? There were none of them guys there. Y'all going to take one man's word? Well, I'll go on then. Now watch. God says, I will move my hand. I will take away my hand and thou shalt see my back parts. But my face shall not be seen. Now just imagine in your mind, in human terms, a man walks by, you miss his face. You do not see his face. But all of a sudden you turn and you look and here's what you see. His back, the back of his legs, his back, the back of his head. So you totally miss the resemblance or the visage of the face. Now God said, this is all that I can let you see. Why? It wasn't FaceTime yet. Aren't you glad we live in the age of FaceTime? I ain't talking about your iPhone. I'm talking about God time. The face of God will not be seen. The light of my countenance, the express attribute of the fullness, I cannot allow you to see my full person. Now watch, why? Why not? Because it was not time for the face to be revealed. Amen. The face will come with the new covenant. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. FaceTime arrived 2,000 years ago. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. FaceTime has arrived. Oh, hallelujah. I said FaceTime has arrived. The glory of God. We're not just looking at a beaten back. We're looking at the face. 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 John 4:12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. So here Moses is desiring to see the effigy or the resemblance of God, but God said, no, not yet. Not yet. Now let's look in chapter 34, verse 5, if you will. Let's watch the fulfillment. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now it's the same cloudy pillar that had stood at the door of the tabernacle. But now it's come over to where Moses is. And the Lord descended in the cloud. So here it's visible to the natural eye if God wants it to be. He descends in the cloud and stood with him. The Lord of the cloud in which the Lord was standing, it stood by Moses. So Jehovah declares with a loud voice the name of the Lord. The divine name was proclaimed personally. Hallelujah. The divine name was proclaimed personally. The divine name was proclaimed condescendingly. He condescends and proclaims His name. Now remember, He's not just saying words. In His actions, in His attributes, He's proclaiming His name. What did God do when He called His name Jesus Christ? What was that? It was God condescendingly describing the attribute of His name as Savior when He took on the human name Jesus. Oh, glory. Notice in verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. So here God is preaching about His name, and He don't go off way out there in the horizontal rainbow. And He don't go into some great big deep something other that nobody can understand. But God is proclaiming His name, and He proclaims it in goodness and abundance of truth and mercy. Now my, if He would have wanted to go deep, I mean there ain't nobody could ever touch Him in depth. He was deep. He was deep down in the very expression of His own character. Oh glory. The Lord. The Lord God. Now watch what He calls Himself. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And then the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, God. Jehovah Elohim. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. How many knows Him this way? Gracious and long-suffering and... And you want to know the glory of God? What are you asking for? this is what God said about himself when a man wanted to see his glory. I wonder, church, if we don't walk in this glory every day of our life, but we're looking for something that his word don't even say will happen. You see, the first revelation to Moses was Yahweh, which is the self-existing one. Now, this is the second revelation of the name of God, which is more profound, that he's now coming under the compound names that he's just spoken, which means he is Yahweh, which saves his people. What has he done? He's just forgiven them of idolatry. So he expressed the attribute of Savior in the very act by not annihilating those people. The different names, actually these next two verses, if we could read Hebrew, we'd be able to see it. But since we can't, I'm going to give them to you. There's actually 11 attributes of the divine nature. I'll show you the names of them up here. If you can read Hebrew, you'll see it in front of it. You can't, don't worry, English is there. Jehovah, the existing one. El, the strong or mighty God. Rakum, the merciful being who is full of tenderness and compassion. Chanun, the gracious one whose nature is goodness itself, the loving God. Now this is what God is proclaiming and revealing his name. I wonder how many of us scream the name of Jesus and scream God and scream Lord. But I wonder, can we scream these attributes out of our lives? This is what God said about himself when his servant was wanting to see his glory. Look at this next one. Irak Ephahim, long suffering, the being who because of his goodness and tenderness is not easily irritated, but suffers long and is kind. Praise be to God. How many knows him this way? Aren't you glad you've got a father who's not easily irritated? Aren't you glad you're serving a father tonight that how many thousands of times he could have absolutely cast us into hell, but the attributes of his name would not allow him to do it? This is who he is. Number 6 is Rab. R-A-B, Rab. The great or mighty one. Chesed, this is the word now that I read to you a while ago, showing grace to the thousands. These are the words that is in these verses here that we've read and read and read. Showing grace, Chesed, the bountiful being, he who is exuberant in his beneficence. That sounds like my daddy. And if I'm one of his children, these attributes ought to be, they may be a lot smaller, but they ought to be in me and you. Look at the next one. Emes, the truth, or true one. He alone, who can neither deceive nor be deceived, who is the fountain of truth, and from whom all wisdom and knowledge must be derived. No wonder he come and said, Moses, you want to see my face, but it ain't face time, but it's name time. It's character time. It's revealing time. I'm going to show you who I am. Lord, children, I wonder how many times Moses went back to this when he got in this trouble and that trouble and that trouble, and he called on Chesed, and he called on Rab, and he called on El, and he called on Yahweh. Don't you understand? That's why God reveals his word to us. So when we get in the middle of trouble, we can say, he's my healer. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He lifts up my head. If all this message has done to you is give you a bunch of head knowledge, you've missed what it's completely about. I love this next one. Not such as said, the preserver of bountifulness. He whose beneficence never ends. keeping mercy for thousands of generations, showing compassion and mercy while the world endures. I don't know what Moses asked for. I don't know exactly what was in Moses' prayer and his personal petition. Was it signs? Was it wonders? Was it glory? What did he see but to me, Brother Darrell? Until the face arrived, you couldn't see nothing no greater. God revealed him the face in the character of the name. The face of Jesus Christ was being unveiled by the Word. I'm trying to be nice, but from this point on, I'm not responsible for my actions. Number 10, Noze Avon Vehesha Vekata. Glory to God. He who bears away iniquity and transgression and sin properly, the Redeemer, the Pardoner, the Forgiver. Glory to God! Moses, I want you to see my glory. Happy Valley, he wants you to see his glory. That don't mean we go out and sin so he can pardon us. That don't mean we live in sin so he can forgive us, brother. If you've ever truly born again, if you do something wrong, it breaks your heart. Oh, my, I've said it many times before. In the beginning, he could have spoke his children out of the Lamb's book of life, and those in the book of life would never live. But the mercy of God was so great, it expounded on beyond the Lamb's book of life over into the book of life. And if he would have spoke you into existence and you would have bypassed this mortal realm, he could have stood up there in the paradise and said, children, I'm a savior. Children, I'm a healer. Children, I'm a redeemer. And we'd say, yes, Papa. Yes, Papa, we believe that. But he chose to let us come this way. And when it's all said and done, it won't be him telling us. It'll be us. Hallelujah. It'll be us telling him, Papa, you're a savior because I was lost. Papa, you're a healer because I was sick. Papa, you're a redeemer because I was lost to the world. You're a deliverer because I was bound. It'll be us testifying back to him. This one here is quite a compound name. Listen to this. The being whose prerogative alone it is to forgive sin and save the soul. The righteous judge who distributes justice with an impartial hand, with whom no innocent person can ever be condemned. And the last one. Poket, Avon, he who visits iniquity, who punishes transgressors, and from whose justice no sinner can escape, the God of vindictive justice. So if you refuse the 10 above, you get number 11. But if you get the above 10, you ain't got nothing to worry about number 11. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh my! Notice this, back to verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving chesed, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Listen, the Hebrews actually keeping steadfast love for thousands, literally guarding chesed for thousands. Endless generations. God guards his chesed, his ability to pardon. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. These three terms are not the same thing. It's different stages of sin. But God's covering the whole thing. God knew we got a smart enough devil. If he'd said iniquity, which means you're doing something that you know you shouldn't do, the devil would throw them other two up. So God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cover it all right now. So it's iniquity, it's transgression, it's the harmatia, it's the sin, it's the whole thing. You miss the mark, you wobble, you walk a little bit crooked, whichever way it is, I'm going to cover the whole thing. Amen. Amen. If you'll come back to Chesed, I am guarding my Chesed. I am guarding. If you refuse it, I will by no means clear the guilty. Don't you understand? This is where those people stand who refuse to repent and turn and go back and make things right with God. But they keep repenting and repenting and repenting and repenting and living the same kind of life. He will not clear those people because they are still guilty from the nature of the soul. But if you are cleared by the love of God, then your mistakes are covered in the blood of Jesus. And He keeps chesed, chesed for thousands of generations. Yahweh is saying, I will love my people for thousands of generations. Forever. To me, that's greater than miracles. Because guess what? When we get up on the streets of gold, there'll be no blind people anyway. There'll be no lame people. There'll be anybody with a crooked arm or anything like that. Oh my. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Three different phases or shades of evil and guilt. Iniquity literally means twisting or something twisted. The opposite of righteousness. Now we know, of course, every sin is a deviation from truth. Right? But iniquity is something that we Christians do. We know we shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that. And yet we do it anyway. Iniquity don't apply to these sinners out here because they don't always know this is wrong and that is wrong and that is wrong. But we do. Oh my. The crooked wanderings. Isn't it amazing that you said of God said even after they're my people, they will bobble. Hey, we're not just bobble heads. We're bobble bodies. Don't sit there and look at me like an angel. Every one of you have bobbled and wobbled and frobbled and everything else. And you felt like there wasn't no grace left. How come God could even do that for you? Because Chesed was preserved for you. Oh my, was you worthy of it? Absolutely not. Was I worthy of it? Absolutely not. Did I preserve it? I am not the preserver. My Jehovah is the Chesed to thousands of generations. And the third word here is sin, which literally means missing the mark. So you aim toward doing a certain thing, overcoming a certain thing, living a certain way, and you take the aim by the Word and the Spirit and your desire and intention and motive and all that genuine, but somehow something comes up and you, poof, my goodness, you missed the whole barn. You didn't just miss the bullseye on the barn. You missed the whole barn. It went plumb over the top of the barn, hit a cow down there 40 acres on down the left field. And you say, how in the world did I do that? Chesed has already said, you're going to miss the mark every now and then. You're going to have things there that's going to get you down, but don't stay down with them. When you do, make the thing right and rise up and go back to Chesed. Go back to Rob. Go back to Jehovah. Go back to Yahweh. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Glory to God. God has a divine treatment for sin. God has a peculiar way of treating diseases and sin. God, many years ago, had the children of Israel, we find here in the book of Numbers, and they were going through in a time of the rebellion. And serpents began to come among them. Fiery serpents that begin to bite them. So God gives Moses a remedy. And that is, take a serpent and put it on the pole. So you're out in the field somewhere and you know a serpent comes among you. You're gathering a little kindling wood or whatever you're doing. Getting a bucket of water and you reach down in there to dip your bucket down in the little pool of water. And when you do, a serpent reaches out and grabs a hold of you. Now the fiery serpent was that the venom inside this viper was like fire. So as soon as it bit you, the fire run up into your body, come into your heart. And it felt like it was on fire. But God had made a way. Now you could not carry one of these serpents on the pole around in your hip pocket. You couldn't make it as a necklace. It was in one provided place. And all you had to do was make your way back to that place. What a peculiar way to be healed of a snake bite. By looking at a snake. How would you heal a snake bite? Certainly not by that. If any of you have ever been bit by a water moccasin or a copperhead or a rattlesnake or something like that was venomous, what do? They have people who take them and they milk the poison out, and then the hospital's emergency room will keep the poison there, and you say, oh my, get a snake to bite me back. They say, you're absolutely out of your mind. That's not the way we deal with it, but that's the way God dealt with it. So God had them to put a serpent on the pole. Lord have mercy. Don't you see what Jesus was? Jesus had to become the serpent on the pole. All of us were bit by the serpent. So here we were, dying. I'm lost. Oh God, help me. And so I said, look up there. There's a man hanging on the cross. But that man had to become a serpent in order to take care of my serpent bite. Now don't get quiet on me. That's what the prophet said, that he became the serpent on the pole. That's how God heals a snake bite. Glory to God. What did God do? He had to come down himself and baptize Jesus Christ in the river. What was it? The anti-venom that he put inside of him. Then he had to milk that power out of Jesus. Glory to God. He had to milk that power out of Jesus and send it back to every one of you that's got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here I was dying. My hand was killing me. My heart, my soul, my spirit. Here come down this big supernatural syringe from heaven with a dose of the Holy Ghost. Like most human beings, I'm scared of needles. That's why folks are scared of this Holy Ghost. They're afraid to make them act like me. I said, well, I wouldn't mind the Holy Ghost if I could get it my own sophisticated way. I'll tell you one thing. Me and my brother and sister several years ago, whenever we was young, was out in the woods. An old rabid fox come up through there. Knocked my sister down. Was biting around her arms up there. And I had a pocket knife in my hand. Or my pocket, rather. I pulled the pocket knife out. And I went after that fox. We've got a big old scar here in my hand to bear the image of it right now. That fox grabbed me by the hand. Well, we went running to the house scared to death. They take us to the doctor. And the doctor said, probably got rabies. So me and Harry and my sister Kim had to take rabies shots. The rabbit serum come from a rabbit with rabies. I didn't need to know the rabbit's name, his IQ, or his color. I wanted to live. So for 14 days, they give us a shot. They pull up the fat of your belly. So they got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 up this side, 7 up that side. They didn't need to explain to me how it worked. I didn't need to have a scientific mind. Well, I want you to explain to me, doctor. And that doctor would say, then we went to his home, and I'd lay there on his couch, and tears would drop out of his eyes down on my belly. But it worked. I don't have rabies. He said, I don't know about that. Well, if I'm mad, it's because I'm mad at the devil. It ain't rabies makes me act like this. Did I understand how it worked? No. Did I understand how the serum worked? I do not know. But all I know is it worked. Because neither me, nor Harry, nor Kim got rabies, and the possibility of it was there. How do I know I'll be saved? My vaccination will hold. Hallelujah to God. My vaccination will hold. Let trouble come. Let tribulation come. My vaccination holds. It'll keep me from hell. It'll keep me from the tribulation period. Well, I got healed of the snake bite. Oh, the fang marks may still be in there. See these gray hairs? That's still a fine sign of the fang marks. I'll carry that scar with me the rest of my life. But that scar means I'm healed. Some of y'all want to wallow in your scars and your complexes and your fears. That scar means I'm healed. Oh, it don't feel the same as the rest of my flesh. It's numb, always will be. Don't feel right, feels a little funny. But you know what? I'm just glad I've got a hand left. I'm just glad I'm healed up. I'm glad I've been bleeding all these years. I'm glad I got healed. Do I have fang marks left in my body? Yeah. But before long, they're fixing to disappear too. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My body is going to be healed of the snake bite of mortality. No! Hallelujah! Look what this revelation done to Moses in verse 8. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. It didn't make him proud, arrogant, smart aleck. He didn't feel like he had a license to sin. But when he heard this, he bowed his head to the earth from where he was taken and he worshiped. The voice now stopped. Now it's Moses' time to react to the action of God. He could have danced. He could have shouted. He could have screamed, hollered. All kinds of emotions he could have expressed. But what does he do? Moses made haste. As soon as the voice stopped, he bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Why? The effect of Jehovah in this manifestation of grace was so overwhelming. He couldn't say anything about, oh, it feels good. Oh, man, hallelujah. Boy, I can do whatever I want to. But it was all about worship. In the East, people bow their head to royalty and are silent when royalty passes by. So now, here comes this effigy of God. So he hears it before it ever arrives. The Lord God, I am gracious, I am merciful. On and on, and Moses. So he's standing back in this recess of the rock. And all of a sudden a shadow comes over the cliff. Finger, another finger, another finger. The Lord God, Rab, Chesed, Vanakasa, Shanum, Rakam. Moses is standing there. So he comes by. And on the way out, when he finishes the name, Moses bows his head and worships. The Lord passed by. I don't understand folks who go to church and the Lord passes by and they don't want to worship. You see, the more any man sees of God, the lower he falls in his own esteem. The lower he falls in his own pride and prestige. Which tells me about most of us, we need to see more of God. Because we're way too proud of ourselves. Why? Can you imagine a man that walks out in the full sun tomorrow and he looks up for just a few seconds in the sun and he turns away? You can't hardly see anything. You ever done that? Why? Because of the brightness of that sun. So you look from the sun back to the realm of mortality. You look to your car. You look to your house. You look to your wife, to your yard, to your trees, to your job. All of that just simply blackens out momentarily. Why? Because of looking at the sun. Oh, friends, we need to spend more time looking at the sun. Can I have just a few more minutes? Let's skip down to verse 29. Now the glory of God passes by. The name of God is revealed. And Moses has experienced this great change. Actually, I don't know if you understand it or not, but Moses just had a transfiguration. And it came to pass that Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Now this is on the Day of Atonement when Moses walks down, which is the 10th day of Tishri, or September. So Moses now, after this great glory passes by, God tells him, take you two more tables of stone and come up. And Moses has spent this time now with God. And when Moses comes down, Moses' face is now shining with the glory of God. But the amazing thing about it was, Moses didn't know it himself. You see, a lot of these people who think they're such so-and-so, and they know it more than everybody else, that's backwards to Scripture. So when he come down from the mount, Moses wist not that the skin of his face had shone. What happened? Moses became transfigured. He had walked so into the glory of God that the glory of God had now become imparted into him. You do understand that this earth is going to be changed pre-millennium conditions by atomic bomb. I read just this week where scientists have found out a new element of what they call global warming. That by shooting some of the ice fields, they found out it's not just the air warming, but it's the earth. Warming up from within. And the ice, they say, a great large portion of the ice that is being melted, they've now determined it's not from the air, but from the earth. What's happening? She's getting ready to give birth. Whoa! Oh, she's getting ready, and Sodom is getting ready, and the church is getting ready. Don't you tell me there's not a bride on the earth getting ready. Let me close with this. So the glory of God could be upon you in such a great way, and you wouldn't even know it. Those of you who fight battles and think you've never done anything for God, probably some of you sitting here tonight and some of you that are streaming this service, for you to sit down and list the people that you've actually led to Christ, to a baptism of the Holy Ghost, probably some of you would be ashamed to even write down 1, 2, 3, 5, 10. Some of you housewives, you're looking and saying, what have I ever done for God? And you're looking and you're looking and you're looking. And because you can't see it, you think it ain't there. Yet this man was transfigured and his face shone so much it scared them people to death. And he didn't even know it. He wasn't packing a mirror around like this. Glory to God, glory to God, look at me. Whoa, look at me, man alive. I want you to look at me. He had no mirror. It was not self-glorification. It was not self-deification. He didn't even realize. No other man that we know of ever experienced this in the Bible but the Lord Jesus. And it happened to this man. And it was so common to him. He didn't even know it. True glory is never self-conscious. The noblest, loftiest character is that of a man who's so absorbed in his service to the King that he's forgotten about the beautification of the glory of God on his own life. Because he doesn't spend all of his time primping in front of a spiritual mirror. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, I've accomplished that, I've done this, I've done that. He's so wrapped up in service to his King. Let's bow our heads. Let me give you a little secret, friends. The more grace we have revealed in our lives, the less self-consciousness we'll have. And the more good others see in us, the less we'll see in ourselves. That's opposite, I realize, to what this age thinks. But I'm not really concerned about what this age thinks. I want to know what God thinks. I wonder how much glory will be on each of our lives. And we look and we say, Lord, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. And others look at you and say, oh my, what a Christian. Others people say about you, I wish I could be like him. I wish I could be like her. And preachers say, well, I wish I had a ministry like him. Like, and you're thinking, I wish you did too, because I sure don't like the one I got. Why? That's the way true glory is. So the man is all the time tooting his own horn and blowing, I'm this and I'm the biggest preacher and I'm this, that, and the other. Don't worry about him. He's a bag of wind. He's not been in the pillar far long. If he had, grace would come out of him. He would do like Moses done. Bow his head and worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my. Heavenly Father, as I close on these simple thoughts tonight, Lord Jesus, may each heart here be ministered to according to the ordained portion that they're to receive. Lord Jesus, we don't want honor, glory. We don't want none of that for ourselves. The glory I desire to see is yours. What have I ever done worthy of anything anyway? But Lord, if somehow somebody else could see you through me, I would consider that an honor. In this poor, hurting, lost world, when people are starving to death for love, if somebody could see the love of God in my heart, I believe the glory of God would be expressed through me. It would show I got healed of my snake bite. Though the fangs prints are still in my realm of mortality, my hair turning gray, and more wrinkles in my face, all that sort of thing. But it won't be long. As John said, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So as I continue to look, finally mortality will lose its hold. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, may you minister to every heart here tonight. Oh, Lamb of God, we need you so much, more than ever before. As a little old boy, when I went up to the altar that night, I didn't know how to pray. I'd ask my mama even how to pray and get saved that day. I didn't know how to approach you. I didn't know if I should hold my hands or bow my head or look up or what. Took me years, Lord, to ever learn really how to approach you. And the more I found out about you, the more I realize how little I still know about you. But I'm grateful that you can deal with us even in our ignorance. And as a little boy, if nothing, no more than us saying the alphabet, you can take and put them together and make the words that need to be said. Oh, Jesus, may your name be revealed in this place tonight, Lord. Maybe if there's a backslider or somebody that's lost, may they find those compound redemptive names have now all been tied up in the human name of redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to just speak that name through repetition, methodical, over the years, and not let the characteristics of the name be revealed in us. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray. With every head bowed. Anybody like to be remembered in prayer tonight before the Lord? God knows what your need is, what your desire, your request.
Paul says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. David said in Psalms 37, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Jesus said in Matthew, if any two on earth agree as touching anything, it shall be done. St. John 15:7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be given to you. Jesus again says, you've asked nothing in my name. Hitherto you've asked nothing, but ask that your joy may be full. Again, Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Again, Jesus says, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You shall receive power, dunamis, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whatever your need is tonight, can we just stand our feet? If you've heard a little bit of his character tonight, and maybe you knew all of this, and maybe it was just a repeat, right, really, of what you've already heard. But I hope it was a little further illumination than what you already knew. And I trust it'll have the same effect on you that it had on Moses. That we'll bow our heads to the depths of the earth, and we will worship. We're not here to worship the preacher. We're not here to sing songs about how a great preacher I am. We're not here to sing about Happy Valley. We're here to sing about our Lord Jesus. He's the mighty conqueror of us. Hallelujah. It is Him who it is His nature to forgive and pardon and remove the sin from the innocent. It is Him who will hold the justice of God on those who are guilty and will by no means let them go. Oh, friends, if I only had time to go into that and show you, those who sin and then repent and sin and then repent and sin and then repent, that's exactly what that scripture is applying to. Of those who live a filthy, dirty life and they think they're under the blood. They're the ones that Jude says they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, unclean living. But they think that they're under the grace of God. Oh, well, I can live this way. It don't matter to God. They're turning the grace of God into unclean living. God said them, I will not clear by no means. But if you're able to confess tonight, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I've been saved. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But Lord, if there's any iniquity, if there's any transgression, if there's any hidden sin, any secret sin, anything about me, Lord, that's not like you, anything that you don't like, wash me, Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you Christians glad that we've still got a remedy for sin? Not just when we're sinners. Praise God. But remember that high priest when he would come into the presence of God, and those priests when they come into the outer court, and there was a brazen laver there made from the looking glasses of the women. And they would come in and they would wash their feet thereat. Moses washed them once when they were initially consecrated. They did never need to be washed by the prophet of God again for that initial consecration. But every time they'd come into the house of God, they needed to wash their feet because their feet was their walk. And that's what Jesus is typifying when he says to communion, when he tells Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. He said, you're clean and not ever wet. Why? Whenever they'd take a bath in the public bathhouses and they'd walk to their house, their feet were dirty and they'd have to wash their feet again. You may be saved tonight, filled with the Holy Ghost, but we're living out here in this old dirty, filthy world. That's why it's good for us to come to the house of God and come together. Why? So our feet can be washed. Our walk can be washed. Amen! Our everyday walk can be washed. You're a beautiful, beautiful bride with this beautiful, white, spotless, flowing gown. But you're living in this smutty, filthy, dirty world. You can't hardly go to Walmart without being touched by black smut and filth. If it's no more than thoughts and a woman, the way she's dressed and people saying words and this and that and the other, you can't even walk by the checkout lane without Christians being offended by the magazines. It's, come on, you know it's the truth.
Amen. But aren't you glad you've got a laver? A labor where you can wash there. Why? God said, so they do not die. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can we raise our hands? May the Lord look at every heart here in the building tonight. And those of you that are streaming wherever you are, those of you that will archive it later. You're there in Brazil and Norway, South Africa, wherever you are, China, different parts of the world. May the Spirit of God just come to you there, my brother, my sister. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the presence of the resurrected King. Glory to God. And I want to tell you tonight, He is not dead, but He is alive. And His presence is here among us tonight. If you've got iniquity, He can take care of that. If you've got transgression, He can take care of that. If you've got hamartia, which is sin that missed, you simply missed the mark. He's here to take care of that. It's in the revelation of the character of who He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. Lord Jesus, come by this way tonight, Lord. Come by this way, Lord. Whatever you have need of, children, why don't you just make your petition known? Then when you've prayed for your needs, I want you to take your hand and lay over on that brother or sister standing by you. And I want you to join your faith with that brother or sister. There ain't no telling what they brought to church tonight. There ain't no telling what need they come with. Let me read these to you again. Jehovah, the existing one. El, the strong or mighty God. Rakum, the merciful being who is full of tenderness and compassion. Shanun, the gracious one, whose nature is goodness itself, the loving God. Erek, Apahim, long-suffering, the being who because of His goodness and tenderness is not easily irritated, but suffers long and is kind. Rab, the great and mighty one. Chesed, the bountiful being who is exuberant in His beneficence. Emes, the truth or true one. He alone who can neither deceive nor be deceived. The fountain of truth. Natser, Chesed, the preserver of bountifulness. He whose beneficence never ends. Keeping mercy for thousands of generations. Noze, Afan, Vehasha, Veketa. He who bears iniquity and transgression. Properly the Redeemer, the Pardoner, the Forgiver. The being whose prerogative alone it is to forgive sin and save the soul. With whom no innocent person can ever be condemned. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are awed by Your presence, great Jehovah. Hallelujah. Oh Jesus, I sense You so near us tonight, Lord God. How I thank You. Oh Lord. Hallelujah. We may not be allowed to see You as Moses did, but yet, for the allotment that is given for us today, Lord, I want to experience it as great as my predestinated spot will allow it. I don't ask for any more than I can be able to handle. But Lord, for all that can be mine, let it be mine. I want to know You in a greater way, Lord. I've seen You heal sick. I've seen You, God, move tumors. I've seen You do all kinds of things, Lord. I've seen You do so many miracles and signs, Lord. But I want to see You, oh Jesus, in a greater way, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Can we just raise our hands as He passes this way tonight? For those of you who are in the Holy Ghost, He has you in the cleft of the rock. Maybe this will be your night. Maybe you're sick and you need a little further understanding of Him being Jehovah Jireh, your healer, your provider. Maybe He'll just kind of pull His hand back a little bit as He walks by, and that revelation will strike your heart. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. Maybe you got needs in your home or your family or your children, whatever it is. Maybe there in that cleft of the rock, he'll pass by, move his hand just enough when the glory passes by. What is it? The afterglow of his being. This is what Moses saw. The afterglow of his being. You know, there's a certain diamond that when it's cut in a certain cut, you can take it out and hold it in the direct rays of the sun. Take that diamond back in a building, and that diamond will sit there for a few hours, and it will emanate the light of that sun because it captured it by the cuts. Glory to God. Oh, I want to be that kind of person, don't you? Where I can come into his presence and, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, that I can catch that glory of God when I'm brought back into this old dark world. Hallelujah. That I can be able to shine forth his glory. Oh, Jesus. Adonai. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's just sing a little something. I'm gonna let you go, but oh my, I don't want to dismiss this too quick. Lord, children, what's his presence worth? What value could we put? There's none. There's no value. This is without price. Amen. I love just to saturate and soak in his presence, don't you? Just let it saturate us. Let's just worship him just for a couple of minutes before we go. Let him just consummate the work in some of your hearts here tonight. Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
My God is awesome.
Hallelujah.
He is awesome.
Lord Jesus.
Awesome.
Hallelujah.
Awesome.
Yes, you
My
are.
My God is awesome.
Hallelujah.
Awesome.
Just go with them, bless the meetings there, and bring them back home safely to us. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, before there was ever any airplanes, you declared how big you were. Before man ever broke into the ability to fly across the oceans, you declared yourself of your greatness. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Darrell and his family. Go before them, Lord. Bless their meetings, Lord. They're going to have some time together after just to rest and see a few things there, Lord. I pray that you'd watch over them then going to England. May you be with them, Lord. May you bring them back safely. Hallelujah. May the hand of the Almighty God go with them, and may they see your name, your character, your attributes expressed there, Lord. Good in your God, we pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Drink where I've been a weak. Forever He will reign. My God is awesome.
He is awesome.
Yes, He's awesome.
He's awesome.
Oh, He's so awesome. Yes, awesome. Awesome.
He is awesome.
Yes, He's awesome.
He is awesome.
So awesome. Our God is awesome. My God is awesome. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. And by His stripes I'm healed.
Seen you, Jesus.
My God is awesome.
My God
is awesome.
He is awesome.
Yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome. So awesome. My God is awesome.
He's
the Savior of the whole world. The giver of salvation. Oh, my God is awesome.
redemption. By His stripes I'm healed.